State utility regulators voted this week on a set of rules that could make installing battery storage and renewable energy systems like solar panels easier and cheaper for customers. The Corporation Commission's unanimous decision was more than a decade in the making, lauded by the solar industry and other renewable energy advocates, but challenged by the state's major electric utilities and the commission's own staff. The commission's vote ultimately went against staff recommendations, but Court Rich with the Renewable Energy Department for the Rose Law Group argues the commissioners voted in favor of forward-looking rules that favor customers. Rich represented Tesla in this matter and sits on the board of the Arizona Solar Energy Industries Association, and he joins us now in studio. Court, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so this gets a little in the weeds, I know, but let's start with exactly what the commission voted to do here.
Okay, on a very high level, what they did is they adopted rules that talk about what you have to do, the hoops you have to jump through if you want to put solar on your roof or batteries in your garage. And so it says, you know, what equipment do you need? How long is it going to take to do that? And those were the main things. The utilities would like it to take longer and cost more to make it a little more difficult for their customers to generate their own energy. And so that was sort of the conflict.
Okay. So give us an example. Like, if you want to go get solar panels on your home now, what are the things you'll have to do now that you didn't have to do before?
So for the most part, it doesn't change a whole lot of what's going on, but they did a few key things that are really important that I think will be examples for the rest of the country. And one of them is around batteries. And, sort of the wave of the future here, we hope that more and more folks that put solar on their roof will pair it with batteries, and that'll be just good for everybody. It's sort of hard to not get in the weeds on it, but on a high level, the utilities wanted to pretend like your battery would be sending all of its power out to the grid all the time at every moment. But when reality is, you, if you have a battery, are probably using the energy at home.
Mm-hmm.
The implication of that was, if we pretend like it's sending all the power out, then we've got to make kind of more upgrades to the grid and it gets more expensive. And I think that's maybe the easiest way to say it without getting way too complicated.
Okay, so in your point of view, who wins here?
Well, definitely the consumer, right? And I think there was the Corporation Commission did a great job looking at, how do we cut red tape here for the consumer and get out of the way and also make sure that it's safe going forward and that we have the right rules in place, but not too many. And they balance that and the consumer wins for sure.
Does this affect the cost at all? I mean, we've heard for a long time that batteries are, as you said, the wave of the future. But in general, they've still been fairly expensive for consumers, for example, to have them in their homes.
It will affect the cost of installing them. It won't affect the cost of the battery.
Mm-hmm.
But if we were going to pretend like they were acting in a way that they don't act, and then the consumer then had to pay a bunch of money to the utility to upgrade stuff and install stuff that was totally unnecessary, it would have been more expensive to install the batteries, in which case you'd either have to pay more or just not do it because it was too expensive.
So do you think that ultimately this leads to more Arizonans buying rooftop solar as opposed to leasing it and having battery storage in their homes?
Well, the buying versus leasing shouldn't be affected, but it should help customers that want to install solar in the future for sure. There were parts of it that make the timelines for installation quicker. When you have to apply to the utility, they have to permit you faster and that kind of stuff. So that'll be really helpful for sure.
So the utilities commission staff actually wanted some more regulation here. What's your argument against that? What exactly were they asking for?
Well, I think the commission staff's in a tough place because they're asked to be experts on, so much stuff at the commission. And frankly, it's not realistic to expect them to be absolutely experts on everything. And so, this was new technology that we're talking about. And I think they just weren't completely up to speed on some of that. And thankfully, some of the commissioners were willing to get down in the weeds and look at the details and figure out how to balance the consumer interest with safety.
So what's the timeline on this? When did the rules actually take effect, and when do you think we'll start to see the effects of them?
So the rules go into effect in the next couple months, and there are some things that follow along behind that after this. But we should start seeing, hopefully, the battery storage stuff is really important to the state. And one thing that's more important even than these rules is how the utility rates work and if they're going to let people basically save money but with solar and batteries. And that's a whole nother story that's, even more important. And, actually today APS is filing its new rate case, and we'll see you know, if they're going to try to make it harder for rooftop solar or not.
Lots to watch for there. All right, that is Court Rich with the Renewable Energy Department for Rose Law Group. Court, thanks for coming in.
Thanks a lot.
A new analysis from the International Energy Agency says the number of rooftop solar systems worldwide is expected to more than double in the next 5 years to around 100 million across the globe. And the Renewables 2019 report also says the total amount of energy coming from renewable sources will grow by 50% by 2024. With me to talk about this and what it could mean for Arizona is energy consultant Amanda Ormond, a director of Western Grid Group. And Amanda, what do you make of this report suggesting a big boost in solar power in the next few years?
I'm not surprised by the report because the costs of solar have dropped so dramatically. But one of the things I was reflecting on is that I used to work for the state energy office in the 90s, and there was the golden promise of solar when it got so cheap. Well, we're there. That's where we are now. It is the cheapest electricity source available.
And for how long has it been that way? I mean, we heard, you know, traditionally it's expensive. Eventually the cost will come down. I mean, for how long have they been down like this?
Yeah. The cost of solar, you have to compare it to something. So if you think about remote locations of solar or energy, it's been cheaper for a long time. If you think about at the power plant, building big power plants, it's only in the last couple years that the economics have gotten to where they're less costly than, say, a gas or a coal-fired power plant.
Well, so given the former, is it surprising that there isn't more solar or other renewables already?
Well, solar, like anything, there's multiple factors that go into how fast it might take over. A lot of it has to do with the policy of the state, has to do with decisions that utilities are going to make or individual companies or businesses. So it's pretty complicated to boil it down about why we don't have more solar. Now that costs are less expensive than other generating source, now is the time where we ask the question, why would we build anything else?
So let me ask you about one of the findings of this report, suggesting that the number of solar rooftop systems on homes is set to more than double by 2024. So just, you know, 4+ years, but around 100 million homes. And they list the top markets on a per capita basis for Australia, Belgium, California, the Netherlands, and Austria. When you read something like that, what does that mean for Arizona, do you think?
We have a relatively robust homeowner market. It's not as good as it used to be because the utilities have changed the policies on incenting solar. So I don't think we're going to see as rapid a growth as with other countries because we have probably more to start with than they do right now.
Is there room for more growth, though, in Arizona, even if it's maybe not as quickly as other places?
Right. One of the areas that I know we're going to see development with solar is because now you've got battery technology that you can couple the solar with battery. So if you don't need the energy when the sun's shining, you can use it at night when you come home to cook dinner, or maybe you plug in your electric car. So it's the coupling of battery storage lowering combined with solar that's going to really, I think, make the market explode.
Would you expect that policymakers, I guess in this case the members of the Corporation Commission, to look at data like this from a group like this and say, okay, maybe there are some tweaks that we need to make in our renewable energy standards?
Yeah. What I'd like to see is for us to pull back and look at if solar is one of our really key resources in the state, how do we maximize its use short-term and long-term? So there's opportunities for innovation, greater use now, and innovation in the future that economically can help the state.
The report also looks at other renewable energy sources, and one of them that I'd like to ask you about is wind, because that's something that's been talked about in Arizona, and I think there's some wind energy in Arizona in certain parts of the state. Do you see room for growth there in Arizona as well?
One of the things I really like about wind is it's a good complement to solar because when it's sunny, it's typically not windy, and when it's windy, it's typically not sunny. So it makes a good complement to solar. Northern Arizona is where our wind resources are, and as we shut coal plants, we have transmission, say from the Navajo Generating Station, that is not going to be used to ship coal power. We can ship wind power on those transmission lines.
Is there reason to think that that'll happen?
Yes. So there is developers working in northern Arizona and other places around the state to identify good wind resources. Our resources in wind are not as good as a state of New Mexico, but if you don't have to bring it as far and if you've already built the transmission lines, then the economics can work really well.
Do you agree with the assessment of this report that, for example, the world's total renewable-based power capacity will grow by 50% between this year and 2024? Is that realistic, do you think?
I do think it's realistic, because if it's the least cost power source available, why would you build anything else? We have issues on integrating that much solar. But the future going forward is going to be solar-based. So now we need to start adapting our electricity systems to be able to capitalize on and use solar.
Do you expect the prices to continue to come down? You'd mentioned that they are pretty cheap now. Are they going to keep going down?
What we're seeing in reports from some of the national labs and even from the companies themselves is, yes, we expect solar costs to continue to decline.
I wonder if there's a certain point at which it almost becomes difficult not to use solar because of the cost of it.
That's, I think, where we're headed, is that solar is going to be everywhere. I see reports about solar roadways and solar rooftops, and that if it gets that less expensive or that cost efficient, then we're going to use much, much more of it. We are going to start having to transition our electricity system to take advantage of solar.
What kind of time frame do you think we're looking at for that?
Well, we need to start now in increasing the amount of solar. Arizona is way behind neighboring states in terms of overall renewable energy. So Nevada, California, New Mexico, Oregon, Washington, they all have 30-40% penetrations of renewables, and we're about 15. So we're way far behind a lot of the western states.
All right. That's Amanda Ormond, an energy consultant and a director of Western Grid Group. Amanda, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mark.